Okay, going to tell you a little bit about my adventure at the 2010 World Series of Poker. There's not a whole lot of poker in this. I didn't intend to play this year. I put a little thing on the page saying, I can't afford to go, but if, you know, enough people want me to go, blah, 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 you know, send in your money. Nobody did. I didn't even get a nickel. I guess people figure it. And it's true. I went last year. It was kind of a once-in-a-lifetime thing. It worked out great. Figured it was like a two-outer, meaning there was a 5% chance that something would happen. Well, I'll be damned if the 5% chance didn't come true. My good friend, the powerful and wealthy entertainment lawyer, Perry Sanders, saw the plea, and he called me, or maybe he emailed me, and said, hey, let's do that. And I said, well, what do you mean? You know, because I don't have the $1,000. And he said, well, I'll take care of your $1,000. I thought, well, damn, isn't that a nice thing to do? Turns out he's got business, big business in Vegas. He thought we were going to combine some business while we were there, but he was off by 30 days. What he does now, he represents an entertainer who produces a show called John Lennon, Just Imagine. He does some kind of multimedia thing. I guess he has a band and there's costume changes and he does a John Lennon impression and then he does some John Lennon songs. I'm not exactly sure. There's information online. But anyway, since Perry's involved in this and he got him hooked up to, thought he was going to get the Hard Rock. Turns out they landed at Planet Hollywood, which works out for me because Planet Hollywood is my favorite new casino. So I got out there a day early, thought I'd try to hone my skills just a little bit. Didn't work out so well. Not like I hoped. Lost money the first day, which is so depressing. See, I know I'll never be the big time gambler because I lose a little tiny bit of money. I think, oh no, I'm so stupid. I'm so dumb, you know, but it's really a very small amount of money. Then the next day, the tornado, Perry Sanders hits town, and boy, things just start hopping with this man. I'll tell you, I don't guess there's any way you're ever going to get to experience hanging with Perry for a couple of days. But you remember, I originally identified him as Frank because I said it must be what hanging with Frank Sinatra was like. He walks in a room, and the room just stops. It's just amazing. So anyway, Perry shows up, said, what do you want to do? I said, let's gamble. So he said, okay. So first thing, we went to the poker, that big, big room that you saw on the page, my recent World Series of Poker 2010 trip report, which I just finished the picture and word version. Now you're getting the oral, or is it oral? A-U-R-A-L? That's got something to do with the ears, right? And you are listening to this, so I could be right. So I'm playing poker over here in the child's table, and he's at the adult table. And that was pretty serious. I went and watched him for a few minutes, and it's, you know, there's a lot. I don't know how much money was on the table because I couldn't tell from far away what the chips designations were, but maybe it was $5,000 or $10,000 to sit down at this table. I don't know. Could have been. So I look over there, and I see my old buddy Perry getting a massage. And I think, well, there you go, because he's that type of guy. He's the type of guy, he sits down at a poker table. He wants to see a wine list first thing. And as soon as that happens, 3-4 waiters, they run over to him. Yes, sir, what can we get for you? Because they know he's about to spend some real money. He orders the wine. He gets the massage lady. Oh, he said something about, I need to get a massage. And just then I saw a real cute one walking by. I thought, dude, there you go right there. And not that it's a sexual thing, but, you know, if you got the choice between a 300-pound Swedish gentleman and a cute little young thing, yeah, a cute little young thing, that's who you want rubbing on you. So I'm sitting there playing poker, and again, not having the best of luck, wasn't really losing, just, damn it, I'd win a couple of hands, and I'd lose a couple of hands, and I'm starting to play poker like Doyle Brunson, and that's a bad thing. I know Doyle Brunson is considered the godfather of poker, but I've been watching him real close lately, and Doyle, because he knows the value of a dollar, he's easy to bluff. These kids, they'll say, fuck it, and they'll throw 30, 40, 50,000 in the pot with nothing. And anybody with the brain thinks, oh, God, all I've got is a pair of jacks. I don't know if I want to spend $50,000 on a pair of jacks. But they don't. They got a 2 and a 5. And they're willing to bet 35, 40, 50, 80, 100,000 on it. And the old guys aren't. I made this point in the print version of this. But Doyle Brunson mentioned he was throwing, I'm guessing, maybe $3,500 into a pot. And as he dropped the chips, then he said, that used to be 3 months' pay. But he's right. He knows what it's like. I had an old boss who was crazy, the tightest man in the world. Can't see, but he doesn't want to buy glasses. Can't hear, doesn't want to buy a hearing aid. Won't buy a Coca-Cola or a stick of gum because that's wasted money. You're talking about, I don't care who you know this cheap, this guy is a lot cheaper than whoever you know. And he told me one time that when he was a little kid, he got 25 cents for every chicken he could catch. What would happen? The train would come through Muskogee, Oklahoma. They would unload or load chickens or whatever, and some would escape. And for every chicken he could catch, they'd give him a quarter. So in his mind, a dollar represents, I got to go catch me four chickens. So in that way, I kind of understand how, to him, a dollar is a half hour's work and sweaty work chasing, I don't know, is it hard to catch chickens? I never have. So Doyle knows the value of a dollar, but these young kids today, they don't. If they lose $100,000, well, hell, they'll make $200,000 tomorrow, so whatever, they don't know. This Tom Dwan, he was a millionaire, multimillionaire, from playing poker online before he turned 21. Now that he's 21, he can go to an actual casino. He'll never work a day in his life.
Stand by for a party music sweep.
So I'm sitting there playing cards. I look over, and I see Perry's still getting that massage. It's like an hour later. I'm thinking, well, yeah, he must have had some kinks to work out. But no, he's playing poker. He's feeling good. He's got him a bottle of good champagne. Okay, so I play some more poker. So I look back over to Perry, and I see that girl's gone. I think, well, okay, so he had his fill, whatever. So I look back over then later, and that girl's back again. I thought, WTF. So during the break, I went over to see him, and I see this girl. She's sitting on the floor working his calves, massaging his calves. And I'm thinking, well, damn, she's been here all that time. The times when I couldn't see her, she was sitting on the floor. Again, nothing sexual. She just, you know, she'd do the arms and the back and then the lower back and then the calves. I don't know if we got any thigh action going on. Didn't see any. Hour or two later, I look over, and that girl's still working on him. He ended up giving this girl about $700. Apparently, she's $100 an hour, $110, $120, something like that. And he's a man who enjoys a good time, so he paid for his massage. And this girl, I guess she went home with sore hands, but probably been a while since she had that kind of action in one day. It was so funny. So the next day was actual tournament day, jumping ahead like a Tarantino here. But Perry said the next day while he was playing poker, this lady came up to him and said, "You're the guy with the massage yesterday, right?" And he goes, "Yeah." And she says, "You know, I'm a professional poker player. That's all I do. If I live in poker rooms, I have never seen a longer massage in my life." So the next day we wake up, it's tournament day. And if you're in the tournament, they give you a little coupon. I'm such a dumbass. But they give you, if you're in the tournament, they give you a coupon that says it's good for $10, not 10%, $10 off any purchase at any restaurant. And now if you got like Perry and you're going to spend $600 on supper, $10 don't mean anything. But if you got like me, you're going to spend, say, $11, $12 on supper, boy, that's a godsend or whatever. But I'm so stupid. I ended up paying for my damn meal instead of using a coupon. Right? It's so stupid. Jeez, if I had a brain, I'd be dangerous. So it's the morning of the tournament. And this is the exciting part, at least it was for me. I left the room about 10:30. I figured I'd get me some breakfast. And I get down there, and there's 100 people in line, and the line ain't moving. I'm thinking, you know, Vegas is supposed to take care of things like that. If there's 100 people in line, that's 100 people who aren't spending any money. And at that point, they're supposed to open up more rooms or more cashiers or whatever the logjam is. They need to fix that. So I think, I'll do what any man would do. I said, fuck it, and went to play some poker. So I get in to play the poker, and I get lucky. Oh, boy, was it fun. My favorite hand was a 9-jack. It kept coming through. I get a 9-jack. I said, fuck it. I'll play it. I don't care. You know, one thing, if I was a little smarter, had more patience, well, there's a long list of things, to me, it doesn't make a lot of sense to, you spent the money or the time, whatever, you're all the way out in Vegas, and why sit there and turn down, you know, you get a decent hand. A lot of people, they get a decent hand, they don't play it because they only want to play aces and kings. It's like, well, right, but you're on vacation. You're here to play. You're here to, especially at my level, I can't lose a house payment or anything if things go bad. So I want to play. I want to play a lot of hands. That's why we're here. So here was Saturday morning of the tournament, and I'm winning. I get my jack nine, and oh, here come on the flop comes another jack nine, and some other guy, he had whatever, a pair. He went all in on a wild goose. I called him. I beat him. So he's out. And I got his money. I got all his money now. So he gets up and leaves. Guy sits down. He needs chips. And the chips, there's a wait. You got to wait for the guy to come over, and then they go to the bank, and yeah, yeah, yeah. So the dealer says, hey, you want to sell this guy a couple $100 worth of chips? I'm going, yeah. And it was so cool because like a couple hands later, I got a 9-jack. flop comes out like a 10 queen king. Boom, I got me a straight, my lucky nine jack. So guy goes all in. I call him. He loses his money. He stands up. Next guy sits down. He needs chips. Dealer says, you sell this guy some chips? I'm going, yes, I will. It was the most fun. A couple hands later, I had the nine jack, and I get a flop comes like jack, jack, ace. I guess the other guy has an ace. Idiot goes all in. I'm on a roll. I call him. Boom. I'm winning. I'm just winning like crazy. It was the first time I'd ever experienced every pass as a touchdown. Every time I swing the bat, I get a triple or a home run. It's just boom, boom, boom. Never been on that kind of high before. And then every few minutes, the dealer would say, you sell this guy some chips? I said, I damn sure would. So I keep putting the money in my pocket to where all I can lose is the chips in front of me. And it was just working. It was working. It was working real good. I just was having the best time. The only part, I couldn't do my double shot of Jack. I mean, it's before noon in the morning. I've been known to do a shot of Jack in Vegas before noon, but you just can't go on the Jack before noon. You know what I mean? But then lo and behold, here I looked at the clock. It's like 11:45. Oh, WTF. Now I gotta leave. I gotta stop what I'm doing because I got a $1,000 commitment over here that I didn't pay for. I ended up telling Perry, tell you what, let's come here next year, but let's not spend $1,000 on the, you know, I'm not gonna win anyway. I hated to leave what I was doing to go play in a $1,000 tournament. It's funny, it ended up a whole lot like last year. The first couple hours I just kinda, you know, just maintained, just don't lose anything big, just kind of stick with it. Went on break, came back. Then I started getting kings. Oh, it was weird. Got a pair of kings, went all in, won. You know, so I started doing good. You know, on TV, they get ace-queen, they get ace-jack, they raise. No, not me. Can't do it. I'd get ace-queen, I'd raise. The other guy, he'd go all in. I didn't want to risk my tournament on that. And sure enough, he's got aces, he's got kings. Next hand, I get ace-jack. Bet a little bit. The other guy just go all in. Ace, queen, ace, jack were useless. Now, ace, king is a different story because it's the top two you can get without a pair. I got kings three times, not quite in a row, but like in an hour. And so this guy across the table says, dude, what's your name? I said, Bart. You know, like, what? So he says, you're King Bart. And I thought, well, how cool is that? Second year in a row, I got a nickname. What was my nickname last year? I forget. Damn, I have to read the trip report. So I went back and looked at the old trip report. And the nickname they gave me at last year's tournament was the Aces Cracker, because I had cracked aces a couple of times. And that's a whole bunch of fun when they give you a nickname that's a positive. I mean, yeah, you could be the dumbass, but no. Last year I was the Aces Cracker, and this year I was King Bart. That's a whole lot of fun to get a positive nickname at a poker table. It throws a little subconscious fear into the other's brains, and it gives me a little advantage, I think. But last year they gave me a nickname because I was doing so well, and this year they started calling me King Bart. So every time I'd raise, they go, well, you got kings again? You know, the first 2 hours was okay. The second 2 hours, I was winning all this money or all these chips. But then kept getting it with ace, queen, ace, jack is killing me. I was a little bit ahead, not by a whole lot. And then, so we went on a second break, kind of like last year. At that point, my stack was dwindling. It got down to, if I had a high pair, I'd had to go all in. That's just how it worked. And eventually, last year I lasted 7 hours. This year, if I was going out, I wanted to go out before supper because I didn't want to take a 90-minute break. The poker room is a good mile from your hotel room. I didn't want to walk the mile back to the room. I busted out, well, at the end of my fourth hour. We both busted out by the supper break. So we returned to the scene of the crime, the Voodoo Lounge at the top of the Rio. Perry and Alligator Jim are both originally from New Orleans. And the Voodoo Lounge at the top of the Rio is steaks and seafood. Oh, it's so creepy. I forgot to get there. You have to take the outside elevator. You know what I mean? It's a glass elevator. So, you know, I'm not real good with heights. That damn pyramid out there, it still scares me trying to get in that thing. Yeah, I'd just soon be in an elevator where I can't see out. We get to the Voodoo Lounge there. Perry, he just takes over a place. We get there and he starts asking for the wine menu and whatever, and they can tell. I guess that's their first signal. He starts ordering the expensive champagne. They go, oh, we got us a playa. The waiter comes over, and Perry's all, of these appetizers, what's good? And the guy says, well, this is good, and this is good. And I remember one of them was frog legs. There was something else there, and we got this and that. And Perry goes, okay, bring those. And that's so weird, because I just have never seen anyone do that before. So this guy brings us like a table full of appetizers. Most of them I don't eat. You know, I'm kind of a, not kind of, I am a meat and potatoes man. I don't eat frog legs and I don't eat a lot of seafood. I don't eat a lot of those oddity things in life. They do have steaks there. So I got me an aged ribeye, something, something. It was fancy. And like last year, they served it with a special vertical bone. Are you with me on the vertical bone? It's about 2 inches tall, like an inch around. So the diner can suck the marrow out of the bone. I'm not much on sucking the marrow, but my good buddy, Alligator Jim, he loves the marrow. People say it's the best part of the steak. I guess I'll die without knowing. So we had the mighty fine dinner, mighty fine. The whole time Perry's, more champagne, more of the, you know. And then after that came time for the dessert. So we get he asked for the dessert menu, same thing. What's good on your dessert menu? Oh, they got flambé this and this and that, all, you know, a bunch of French titles and all the desserts. He's going, fine, bring those. So here they come again with a whole, just more food than you'd think we could eat. Then the weirdest thing happened. At that point, we'd all been drinking. We thought we'd maybe call it a night. So we split up and I used the restroom at the Voodoo Lounge on the way out. And I was not prepared for what happened to me in the men's room at the Voodoo Lounge on top of the Rio. Like I say, this is a fancy place. It's for fancy people with money. So I go in there, I'm doing my business, nothing crazy, just number one, if you know what I'm talking about. I get done, I turn around, and there's the men's room attendant is standing there with his index finger on the soap dispenser. And I'm like, what? I was going to wash my hands. I mean, dude, I don't know why are you standing there with your finger on the soap dispenser? I mean, I didn't say that. I thought about it. So I figured he's going to help me wash my hands. A little confused. I'm a city boy like myself who'd never been to the big city. You know what I mean? So I put my hand under there and he presses it and it spurts in my hand. Thought it was potentially a little bit sexual there. Wasn't ready for that. You know, I've never had a man spurt in my hand before, if you know what I'm talking about. Okay, so that happens, and then he turns on the water for me. I'm going, like, you are done now, right? So I'm doing my hands under the water. All of a sudden, he's rolling my back with a lint minuser. One of the, you know, those lint roller deals? He's going up and down my back with this lint roll. And I'm like, dude, I'm just, you know, I'm not homophobic. It's just, I don't like to do a lot of business with another man in a men's room. You know what I mean? This ain't no Larry Craig thing here we got going. So I'm finishing up with my hands. Oh, and he runs over and hands me a towel. I was like, dude, I can pee without help. Trust me. So then he says, sir, there's I don't know what you call it, a loose thread, something hanging off my back, you know, not from my back. You know, while he was brushing the lint, he ran into some loose thread thingy. You know how those are. And asked me if I wanted him to get that for me. And I said, well, yeah, you know. When I was telling the story to Mrs. Bart, she interrupted at that point and said, well, did you tip the man? And I said, well, no, I was not prepared for this. I did not ask for his services. I don't want to transact any business with an older gentleman or a younger gentleman. Why did I say older? Oh, if he'd been young and cute, sure. Once he said, can I get that thing on your back? And I heard a snip, I thought, now's my chance. So I'm out of there. How'd I go? I was out the door. I think I have been in rooms, in restrooms, where they had an attendant, but not one that was Johnny up to help you. I guess it goes back to like the 30s and 40s and the old days that you might get your shoes shined in a bathroom or something. I don't know. I'm just not sure. I can understand why it'd be a good idea to have a guy check the bathrooms now and then in case there's a problem, but to have a guy whose job it is to be in the men's room and help you with whatever you need, a little creepy. So then, what happened the next day? I think nothing. I had a 1 o'clock flight, and you never know in Vegas how long the lines are going to be. I wanted to check out and get to the airport pretty early. Perry started teasing me. You're getting to the airport 2 hours early? I'm going, well, yeah. I mean, there are times you get to Vegas, and there are 1,000 people ahead of you. And I asked Perry, I said, when do you get to? He said, I get there. I'd like to get there like 20 minutes before the plane takes off. And I said, well, that works every time. He says, well, I've never been bumped yet. But see, I'm not that way. I'm very anal, especially when it comes to traveling. I want to get there right away. In Perry's case, if he gets laid over somewhere, he'll get a fine hotel room and order a fine bottle of champagne and have a fine meal and have a fine time. Me, if I get stuck in Vegas an extra night, that's like 60, 80 bucks I just lost. Plus, I'm away from the wife and the kiddies. So, that, anyway, like to get the airport on time. Probably TMI, I think, for a lot of people. So that was my great fun at the World Series of Poker. Luckily, or potentially, if this John Lennon Just Imagine thing takes off, Perry says we'll be going to Vegas a whole lot more. So if you get to Vegas, be sure and go by the Planet Hollywood and check out Just Imagine, the John Lennon Show.
You're all good. It's time for new rules, everybody. Okay, new rule. The teabagger that made this sign has to explain it to the rest of us. Do not doubt our God will. I'm sorry, I don't speak bumpkin. Do not doubt that our God will what? Correct your grammar? Oh, I get it. Your God's name is Will. Well, it's nice to meet you, Will. But this is a healthcare rally. Next time, bring a sign that everyone can understand, like this one. No taxes, Obama loves taxes, bankrupt USA loves baby killing. So true. Oh, lady, thank God you're here. And by God, I mean, you know, Will. New rule, covering up for a child molester doesn't make you a bad guy. It makes you a good friend. Carl Ratzinger lost the paperwork on a guy who molested deaf kids. My friends give me shit when I ask them to help me move. But let's put popes in perspective. John the 12th drank toasts to Satan. Paul the 5th condemned Galileo. Alexander the 6th had a son with his daughter. All the current pope does is not see anything. He's not the Antichrist, he's just Sergeant Schultz. Exactly, you're right. You're right, Jeff Garland. New rule, stop acting shocked that this sleazo is doing it with this sleazo. A turtle humping a shoe? Surprising. A turtle humping another turtle? Not really news. He's a dirtbag. Who did you expect him to cheat with? Dame Judi Dench? Jesse James just wanted what any man wants. A nice girl you could take home to murder mom and dad. And Bombshell McGee, I love that name, is an old-fashioned girl who just wanted a man to stick something in her that didn't shoot ink. Oh, don't turn over to regular TV if you're so offended.
That was, I love that.
I know, believe me, I know. New rules, since Rush Limbaugh said he'd leave the country if Democrats pass health care reform, Rush Limbaugh must leave the country because Democrats passed health care reform. Oh, who am I kidding? With our luck, he just got kicked off the plane like Kevin Smith. And finally, new rule, you can't use the statement, there will be no cooperation for the rest of the year as a threat if there was no cooperation in the first part of the year. Here's a word President Obama should take out of his teleprompter. Bipartisanship. People only care about it in theory, not in practice. The best thing that happened this year is when Obama finally realized that and said, "Kiss my black ass, we're going it alone, George W. Bush style." Now,
my natural black ass.
Now, 2 months ago, conservative Fred Barnes wrote, "The health care bill is dead with not the slightest prospect of resurrection." Well, if it's dead, you just got your ass kicked by a zombie named Nancy Pelosi. Seriously, the last time a Democrat showed balls like that, John Edwards' girlfriend was filming it. And yet, even before the Democrats got to take a single victory lap, they were being warned not to get drunk with power. I disagree. All you Democrats, do a shot and then do another. Get drunk on this feeling of not backing down and doing what you came to Washington to do. Do not listen to the people who are now saying that nothing else big should be attempted for a while because health care was so rough. Wrong. Because I learned something watching the lying bullies of the right lose this one. When they're losing, they squeal like a pig. They kept saying things like the bill was being shoved down our throats, or the Democrats were ramming it through. The bill was so big, they couldn't take it all at once. And you know what? I realized listening to this rhetoric that it reminded me of something. It reminded me of Tiger Woods' text messages to his mistress that were made public last week, where he said, and I quote, "I want to treat you rough, throw you around, spank and slap you and make you sore. I want to hold you down and choke you while I fuck that ass that I own. Then I'm going to tell you to shut the fuck up while I slap your face and pull your hair for making noise." Unquote.
Oh, wow.
And this, I believe, perfectly represents the attitude the Democrats should now have in their dealings with the Republican Party. Yes. It does. That's what they should be saying to the Republicans. Shut the fuck up while I slap your face for making noise. Now pass the cap and trade law, you stupid bitch, and repeat after me, global warming is real. The Democrats need to push the rest of their agenda while their boot is on the neck of the greedy, poisonous old reptile. Who cares if cap and trade isn't popular? Neither was health care. Your poll numbers may have descended a bit, but so did your testicles. So don't stop. We need to regulate the banks. We need to overhaul immigration. We need to end corporate welfare, including at the Pentagon. We need to bring troops home from everywhere. We need to end the drug war. And we need to put terrorists and other human rights violators on trial in civilian courts, starting with Dick Cheney. Democrats, in conclusion, Democrats in America were put on earth to do one thing: drag the ignorant hillbilly half of this country into the next century. Which in their case is the 19th. And by passing health care, the Democrats saved their brand. A few months ago, Sarah Palin mockingly asked them, "How's that hopey changey thing working out for you?" "Great, actually, thanks for asking." "And how's that whole hooked on phonics thing working out for you?" Awesome.
Well, there you had it. The longest drought in Barcop Radio history is behind us. I feel good about that. You know, something else, not to leave you with a sad note, but it is sad, all the Barcop Radio that doesn't get recorded. You know, my poor wife, she has to sit there and listen to these rants that some people find entertaining. She's got to listen to them. She doesn't have a choice. And if I could just carry a microphone with me, or, you know, like have some reality TV show follow me all day, they'd catch some of these and that. But every day, shit comes up that needs to be commented on. And if I just had a partner, you know, if I just had a producer, if I just had more help, I could, all the radio shows that didn't get done is just a crime. It's like, you know, any think of anything that you like, a TV show, or, you know, say the Bond the James Bond movies. What are there, 22 of them? What if there's only six because they just it was just so hard to put together? But no, there's 22, and maybe someday there'll be 50 because they got a team and they put things together. And I don't know, it's just so frustrating that I've said this 100 times, if Jon Stewart had to get his own clips and listen to his own shows and edit his own stuff and write his own jokes and sell his own tickets and blah, 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 we'd see 2-3 Jon Stewart shows a year maybe. But if there was, you know, would you, the listener, would you move to Tulsa and help me for free? You know, that'd really help me out. It really would. I've tried so many things and nothing works. You know, I was driving around the other day. I was thinking, well, what if I offered, like, say $10 if you, the viewer, you, the listener, say you got a recorder at home, right? These days, electronics aren't that expensive. You could come up with a little way to create MP3s, whatever, but say you're watching TV and someone says something stupid. Bam, you hit the record button. Maybe you got one of those fancy VTRs or whatever those are called. Someone says something stupid, you hit the recorder button, and then you take your DVR and you run that to an MP3 creator or something, and then you email that to me, and maybe I could pay you like $10 if I use your clip on the show. So that way you'd be kind of like co-producing the show with me. But it's just so hard to, it's like a term paper. If I just had some help, it would just be so nice, but sometimes shit don't happen like you want it to. But anyway, as I said, the big long drought is over. Maybe I can do more of these. I don't know. Maybe part of the problem is, the pressure to come up with an hour's worth is kind of tough. And maybe it's just the damn size of the CD that's killing me. I'm not selling a lot of CDs these days. So, and maybe if you notice, today's show is like 4 hours long because I said, fuck it. If I'm not selling any CDs, I don't have to be restricted to that format, that length of time. So maybe I'll do some 10 or 20 minute shows. What the hell? Why not? There's more Bark Cup Radio being created and this and that. But sometimes I'll have what I think is a pretty good rant. And, you know, it just sits there because I need six other rants to go with it. Well, maybe we'll just throw convention out the damn window and maybe I'll do some 15-minute Bark Cup Radio shows. What the hell? I've also been thinking, you know, I got some complaints, but very, very few, which is excellent. I'm getting to think I'm actually a damn lucky sumbitch, you know. I've lost a whole lot of subscribers, but there's a majority have not abandoned me. And that came out wrong. I don't mean that you're abandoning me if you can't afford the $5 or the $10 or the $20 anymore. But I know there are so many people out there hurting so bad, and for them to still send in the $5 or the $10 or the $20, there are still enough of those people sending money in to keep me afloat, and I am so damn grateful for that. And I just think how lucky I am that those people have not abandoned me when they've... If you've been paying for radio shows, you haven't been getting them, and so you've been paying for something you haven't been getting, that's all on me, I'm sorry. But maybe this new attitude will help change that. As I was saying the other day recently, Mrs. Bart got laid off of Fridays. So it doesn't make a lot of sense for me to sit here and pound away at the keyboard all day on a Friday while she watches shows on TV. Although that might be okay with her, because she wouldn't have to listen to me. But if I'm down to four possible show days a week, yeah, somehow, you know, if we throw out that convention, there was a time, if you're a long enough reader, we would do a page every day. I mean, it's weird how that evolved. There was a time when for the first 100 shows or first 50 shows or something, I was doing a show a week, sometimes 2 weeks, I'm sorry, to do a page. And then I got into kind of a rhythm there and started doing a page a day. I was doing a page on Saturday, page on Sunday. And then a while back, I was having a lunch with a pillar, which is rare, but he told me, you know, Bart, to be honest with you, there's times I don't have time to read the whole page. And I'm thinking, well, I'm an idiot. I'm sitting there working, whatever, 10, 12 hours to put out a page that, let's say he was typical, a lot of people don't have the time to read. So that tells me a shorter page might be better. And if I did shorter pages, I could probably guarantee one a day. I mean, obviously, if I do a one-paragraph page, I could do one an hour. If you notice lately, the page has been so long. The one I did today, whatever day this is, the 2nd of August, was 125K, and that didn't even include all the sub-pages. But that's because this is a Monday, and I had 4 days. I had Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday morning to work on it. So I think it was the anger issue. Remember how pissed I was that day? Mad at everybody. Some days it comes out like that. I think more often I need to smoke one before I can't smoke one and do the radio. Oh, that wouldn't work at all, but I can smoke one and do the page. Long story, non sequitur. But yeah, if I'd smoked one before I did that Monday page, the anger issue, that would have been a lot less angry, but I was just pissed off. Everywhere you look, there's some idiot fucking up, and I tend to not sugarcoat things as much as I should sometimes. But anyway, if I did shorter radio shows, you'd get more of them. And so if I just throw away the idea that a show has to be 60 or 70 minutes long, and a CD is 80 minutes long, and there's been times where I had to cut stuff off and leave stuff out. And oh, the real bitch is when you get a show that's 82 minutes long, now I got to go back and go listen to the whole thing again and see where I can cut out 5 seconds here, 10 seconds there. Oh, I'm getting too old. I just can't keep doing the nose against the grindstone thing. But if we did shorter radio shows, you got to get more of them, right? And if I did shorter pages, you'd get one at least 5 a week. We've been stuck at about 3 or 4 a week lately. Hate that. But then again, see, they've been long. So it just depends. Everything's relative. That's how we're going to choose to end this long, long, too long radio show. This is Bart. I'm in Oklahoma. I'll get you, I guarantee you, the next radio show will come at a shorter interval than the last one did, whatever I meant to say. But this is Bart. I'm a K-Drag. I'm out of here. It's only 107 a day. That's another thing. If it's too damn hot to leave the house, what else I got to do besides do some Bart Cop Radio? Thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing. The people who have stuck with me, I am amazed that there's still enough people sending in $5 and $10, $20 at a time to where I don't have to shoot myself in disgust. Thanks. And I got to find a song to leave you with. This is Bart. I'm out of here. Monet and Left Foot. Sort of like a thong and man, crack, come on. I'm tip-bone alligators and little rattlesnakers, but I'm another flavor, something like a Terminator. Ain't no equivocating, I fight for what I believe. Why you talking about it? Just talking about it. Some calling me a sinner, some calling me a winner. I'm calling you to dinner, and you know exactly what I mean. Yeah, I'm talking about you. You can rock or you can leave. Watch me tip without you. No, 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 whether I'm high or low, whether I'm high or low, I'm gonna tip on. Tip on.